Blog Talk Radio.
Y'all, what up, everybody? This is Lee from Lee and Keys Real Talk. Tonight is the Three Bros Fantasy Football Show. I'll be your host with my two other brothers, but tonight one of my brothers couldn't make it, but my other brother is here, so let me introduce my brother Jermaine. What's up, fam?
What's going on, family? Good to be here. Another great fantasy football week, man.
Yes, sir, man. You know, hey, last night jump started us, man. Last night was very interesting. But I like to tell the people, hey, me and my two brothers, you know, we've been playing fantasy football for a while, competing against each other. We consider ourselves, we don't consider ourselves experts, but we do consider ourselves to be very knowledgeable when it comes to fantasy football. Tonight, me and my bro Jermaine, we're going to talk about last night's game between Green Bay and what was left of the San Francisco 49ers. And then we're going to talk about moves that we made that either cost us a win or cost us a loss on our own fantasy teams. And then we're going to get to the meat and potatoes of the show. We're going to tell you who you should possibly sit this week and for sure who you have in your lineup. So with that being said, and time permitting, we also can give you a few sleepers that you might want to look at. But, hey, man, we got to go back to last night, man. What did you think of last night's game as far as fantasy-wise?
So it was a game that, I'm telling you guys, I was about a minute in. I was like, man, should I start Jermichael Hasty? Because all the reports were saying that he was going to get a lot of the carries. I was like, man, it was between him and, believe it or not, James Robinson. And I was like, you know what? At the last minute, I said, you know what? I want to just keep him on the bench. And I'm glad I did, because I don't think nobody would have figured McKinnon would have got most of the carries. Davante Adams went bananas, as I knew he would. The Green Bay Packers, man, they just showed up, man. But, I mean, what's to expect of the 49ers with so many injuries? But Richie James, man, that dude is a beast, man. He came out of absolutely nowhere.
It's funny that you say that, man, because in one of my leagues I had Hasty, and I had him in my flex position. I was like, you know, I'm going to go ahead and roll with him.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just like with San Francisco, you just never know, man, what they're going to do with their running game. Because last week, Jerry McKinnon wasn't even like part of the game plan last week. And then this week, you know, he was the lead back. He even got a touchdown last night. And I'm sitting up here watching my TV like, damn, where Hasty at? But I think what shocked everybody last night was Aaron Jones actually playing last night. I think a lot of fantasy owners are probably like, man, I didn't know he was going to play. Even though he didn't score, he did have yards, he did have catches. He probably maybe scored double figures, I think. I think he had like 59 yards in the first half, and he had like three catches. So, you know, I think that took a lot of people by off guard that he was actually starting last night. But, yeah, man, I was definitely disappointed with starting Hasty. But at the same time, I did have Devontae in my ESPN league. And I got to say it, man. We're going to talk real football right now. Teams, what are y'all doing on the defensive side where you're not doubling this guy? It's like it's like Aaron Rodgers do not want to throw to nobody else except Aaron Jones, Devontae, and Tanya here and there. Even though Valdez Scantling had, what, two touchdowns last night?
Aaron really don't
like throwing to him unless he's wide open, man. He doesn't throw him contested balls or nothing like that. So I don't understand why defenses aren't rolling the coverage over to Devontae. But at the same time, when Lazard come back next week, I think their offense is really going to open up because he was on a tear before he got hurt. So if you play against Green Bay players, be weary, because I think they're only going to get more explosive in the coming weeks.
And to further your point, Devontae in the last, let's say it's the last four games, man, he's had 10, 16, 11, and 12 targets with double-digit catches in each game. So, like you said, when they get Lazard back, it's going to make them unbeatable. And to the point of Tanya, man, dude, he started on fire. The last three games, he has been non-existent. So,
yep.
You know, for those players, you know, for any of you guys who have Tanya, it's about that time you might have to go ahead and just drop him because he's really not giving you anything.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think if you have Tanya on your roster, I will probably stream my tight end every week looking for a favorable matchup. Or if Logan Thomas is available in your league, pick him up. If who else? If you can get Noah Fant, pick him up.
Yeah,
I doubt if Gronk is open. So if Dallas Goedert is even open in your leagues, put him on your watch list to see what happens with him. Ben Ertz is out, and I think Goddard will probably become more involved in the offense after they bye week. But Tanya has definitely fell off, and he basically fell off when Sternberger caught a touchdown, and then this week Mercedes Lewis caught a touchdown.
Yeah.
So yeah, if you're on Tanya, when your offense probably starts streaming a tight end every week, or just find one and try to roll with them throughout the year. I actually picked up Logan Thomas this week when Kittle went down, and I'm just going to roll with him, man. I'm just going to have to roll with him because you don't have Kelce, Waller, I would say Gronk, Jared Cook, Hunter Henry. If you don't have them five guys and Mark Andrews, six guys, you don't have them, basically, you draw a dead anywhere the tight end position. So it ain't going to hurt you to stream a tight end every week. So, and actually, look at Trey Burton with Indianapolis also.
Yes.
Because they're doing a lot of things with him. So look at picking up him also.
Man, you didn't got one of my sleepers already, bro. The last 2 weeks, he had two touchdowns playing the Wildcat. Of all positions. So Trey Burton, that's definitely a good waiver wire pickup right there, bro.
Yeah. And plus, a lot of people don't remember that Trey Burton was a quarterback in college. So he knows how to handle the ball. He can throw it. So basically, he becomes a triple threat in the Wildcat. So, you know, he might not run it in. He might throw it in. So you still going to get points if he throw it in. So. Look at picking up Trey Burton. But,
yes,
look, man, last week, me and Big Bro played last week. And, you know, I don't like to brag or nothing, but, you know, I came out on top. But it was because of one move I made. Somebody dropped Philip Lindsay last week at about 10:15. I was like, whoa. I picked Philip Lindsay up and put him in as my flex. He wasn't doing anything until he scored that 55-yard touchdown. And that 55-yard touchdown actually led me to the win over Big Bro. And then another league, I sat down with Drew Brees, and I played Philip Rivers.
Whoa.
And Rivers actually helped me. And Phillip Rivers, that was in your league. That's the one that was in the Tampa Bay league. And he actually helped me to the win. Even though I won by a lot, he actually outscored Drew Brees last week. But I think in our league, well, all three of us are in both leagues, but the one with me and Big Bro going head-to-head, Phillip Lindsay got me over the top.
Man, that was an outstanding pick. And it just shows you, man, that sometimes you do have to take that risk. But it's easier when we take the risk with people with players who are proven. And Lindsey, I'm telling you, man, he's solid. He was solid the last 2 years. So, I mean, it's not even to be surprised if he just gets the carries. He's going to produce. Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
So what was your move? So what was the move
man,
you made that either led to a win or a loss?
Mr. Zach Moss for Buffalo. He got me 81 yards, 2 touchdowns, 20 points in the crew league, where, you know, touchdowns, I mean, of course, is dependent. The scoring system is I like how the scoring system is in that one. I figured ever since the beginning, they've liked Moss. But, you know, he's been injured. I'm thinking he's going to be a big catalyst for their second half run. Lee, if he just gets the ball, Singletary, he's not really proven himself yet. He gives them a great option on as a 1B, but they really need to put the ball in Zach Moss's hands. And he got me 20 points. He really took me over the edge and got me the big W that I really needed.
And actually, I picked up Moss in the league this week. I picked him up, and I'm putting him in my flex position because I have Chris Carson out. I got Kareem Hunt on a bye. I got quite a few players on a bye this week. But let's talk about this real quick. I know we normally don't do this, but I'm going to go off script real quick. Dalvin Cook last week was a man amongst boys in fantasy football last week. Oh,
yes.
My God. I'm glad
yes.
I wasn't playing. I know you played against him. I'm glad I didn't play against him because when I saw what he did in the third quarter, I was like, yeah, man, this dude is on the tear this week. Oh, my God.
Yeah, my
God.
Man, I was hating life.
A beast.
Actually,
you hate to lose when one player blow up.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I know Mahomes blew up last week, but I don't think he blew up like Dalvin Cook did. Because Dalvin Cook, oh my goodness gracious, he's showing up and showing out this year.
Yeah, man, he got 46.6 points against me. And
God,
and when I seen it, Lee, I was like, I'm done. Like, that I can do it, take it. Like you said, it's bad when you're just getting beat down and nothing you can do about it. But the good in a good note, I did have him as a starter in one of my other leagues. So just like it was done for me, it was done for them as well too, because he got them. he put the beat down on them, cuz. But I'm telling you, man, he's another guy that when he's healthy, he's a top five back. The way they utilize him, man, he's going to get carries, he's going to get you yards. He's a player that guys you cannot bench. Dalvin Cook can get off against anybody.
Anybody,
bro. So, yeah, I tip my hats off to him.
Yeah. Well, next week when Big Bro back, we're gonna do our mid-year awards. We're gonna give our mid-year fantasy MVP. We're gonna give our fantasy disappointments, and we'll give our fantasy surprises. So that'll be next week when Big Bro come. So I'll be texting you guys later this week to let you know. Well, you're hearing it now, but I'll just send it out to the group that we'll be talking about this next week, because this year probably has panned out in some ways, but with a lot of injuries, it probably hasn't panned out a lot of ways that we thought it would play out. So next week we'll be doing that. So, just wanted to throw that teaser out there. But look, man, let's get into it, man. Me and you tonight, double trouble, man. Give me a quarterback you looking at sitting this week.
So the quarterback that I'm looking at sitting, believe it or not, I'm going to sit Lamar Jackson. Bro, I'm serious, bro. So Lamar, man, he's only been averaging 14.8 a game. And his passing, I think that's the biggest – well, two big keys. He's not running as much as he was last year. So I'm thinking Harbaugh may be in his ear. And he's only averaging 191 yards a game, man. In Indy, they give up the fewest quarterback fantasy points. So he's going up against a defense that they were talking about him struggling throwing out to the outside. Indy is going to take away that, and I'm thinking they're going to probably be keying on Mark Andrews. So based off of his production as of late, I really feel iffy about starting Lamar. If you got better options out there, I might would take a flyer on a better option.
Man, it's crazy because I kind of agree with you, but I think playing indoors on the turf, even though it is against a stout defense, I think this week is the week they're going to let him run it a lot. I think they got to – I know what Lamar wants to do. He wants to show that he can throw the ball from the pocket and he can throw the ball. Bro, that ain't what got you the MVP last year.
Exactly.
You need to go to your quarterback's room and talk to Robert Griffin III. He is a prime example of not wanting to do what got you to success. Robert Griffin III got hurt and wanted to be a passing quarterback and couldn't do it. Lamar needs to utilize every tool in his toolbox, and that'll open up his game. So, but the last couple of weeks you've been saying sit Drew Brees.
Yeah.
I got Drew Brees written down, but I got a caveat.
Tampa Bay
got a good pass defense. They got a good front seven. But if Michael Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders play, I would start Drew Brees.
That's going to be a good one.
I'm just saying, I would start Drew Brees if Michael Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders play. I think Michael Thomas will be back this week, and Sanders was clear of COVID. But the quarterback I'm looking at sitting this week, and it's from my team, the Washington football team, I would probably sit Kyle Allen. Although the Redskins, although the Washington football team should win this game, I think he's going to start off slow because the Giants are a good first-half team. They seem to crumble in the second half. So I think he'll have a tough go of it in the first half, but he might throw maybe a touchdown, maybe get some rushing yards in the second half. But I think this is going to be an Antonio Gibson and a Logan Thomas game with Terry McLaurin probably getting over 60 yards, maybe a touchdown. But I think Kyle Allen starts slow, which leads to him probably having a bad game. So I would look elsewhere. If you're looking to start Kyle Allen against the Giants, I would probably look at if Justin Herbert is available, picking him up. If you can get Teddy Bridgewater going against Kansas City, because they're going to have to score points. I mean, he might turn it over, but they have to score points. But, if you break it on Kyle Allen because of the Giants, I'll probably look elsewhere. All right, bro.
Gotcha.
I'm going to give you a running back on looking at sitting this week. Last week,
right.
I knocked y'all socks off with Zeke. I don't knock y'all socks off 2 weeks on the road with sitting Zeke. If you look at his numbers, he should have been sat. This week, I'm going with Melvin Gordon, man. Sit Melvin Gordon going against Atlanta because Lindsey is the better player. Lindsey has been getting more touches. And Lindsey is just more productive in the run game than Melvin Gordon. So if you got Melvin Gordon, maybe he's probably your RB3. Probably look at maybe going elsewhere in your flex position. Might want to start like Marvin Jones Jr., being that Kenny Golladay is out. If Zach Moss is available, probably pick him up over Melvin Gordon. But Melvin Gordon just isn't as good of a running back for Denver as Philip Lindsay is.
Yeah, I do agree. I do agree on that. And I want to do a quick stat correction. Indy is only giving up 14.8. Points instead of Lamar just averaging 14.8.
Okay.
Yeah, I would say my fantasy sit this week is either DK Dobbins or Gus Edwards, whichever one you choose. Indy, I hate to try to ride the same bus, but Indy, they are very stout against the run. It's going to be interesting, man, because if they get running yards, I think it's going to be Lamar that will get it. They're giving up only the third least points to running backs this year. It's going to be really interesting because the jury's been out again on Lamar. I'm thinking they're going to key to shut that game, the run game down. And with Hollywood, Hollywood Brown really not doing that much this year. I think they're going to really dare them to beat them passing. Focus on the run, shut down the running game. Funny thing is, I had Ezekiel Elliott sitting this week too. So look, I'm going to beat you to it. I still would sit Zeke. I would sit Zeke until Andy Dalton maybe gets back. But with Cooper Rush or the other guy, yeah, there's no way I'd play Zeke against Pittsburgh this week. Absolutely none at all, man.
I got Zeke written down too, bro. I put Zeke Pittsburgh will not let Zeke beat them. They will load up against the run and force whoever the quarterback is to beat them through the air. So, and I got Zeke in one of my leagues, and I don't have a better option as far as starting over him. So I'm going to roll with him, although I don't think he's going to do anything. But, look, man, give me a wide receiver you're looking at sitting this week.
Man, I'm going to tell you, all hope to me is gone from Devontae Parker, man. Devontae Parker, I know it's too soon to say it. He only had one catch, 3 yards last week and a touchdown, but if you look at the last couple of games, he's been so inconsistent, and now he's going to have to get, connected with Tua. They're going up against Arizona, where he's going to be facing Patrick Peterson this week. That couple with the lack of chemistry between Tua, man, I just can't trust him right now. I had one league I dropped him. He just hasn't produced. And now with no running game and a rookie quarterback, man, they're going to sell out to really stop Tua. So I really don't think he's going to really have a big impact going forward. So it's going to be interesting to see what he do on Sunday.
That's crazy. I got Devontae Parker too. And I think the biggest thing about people that drafted Devontae Parker, you have to go and do your research when you're looking at number one wide receivers. Devontae Parker has probably the toughest schedule going against number one cornerbacks. You got to say he's going to go against Stephon Gilmore twice, Tre'Davious White twice from Buffalo. Then you say outside he had Jalen Ramsey, who got hurt in the first half. And then this week he got Patrick Peterson. And then they play Seattle, so he's probably going to get Shaquille Griffin. And then San Francisco, I think Richard they already played San Francisco, right? They already beat them. So, but he has a tough go of it when it comes to matchups as far as being a number one wide receiver going against number one cornerbacks. But I'm going with the guy you mentioned earlier, man. I'm sitting Marquise Brown, man. I think he tweeted what was in his heart, but at the same time, you're a professional, bro. You don't tweet that. You don't tweet basically to your quarterback to use your weapons. You don't tweet that. You go to Lamar as a man and be like, hey, man, look, hey, you got to come to your wide receivers more. You got to use me, Snead, and Boykin more, so we can, get to these explosive plays. I think his tweet either have a positive effect or a negative effect, but I think this week it has a negative effect because of who they're going against. So if Marquise Brown is on your squad, you probably holding on to him, waiting on him to blow up, but why? He hasn't produced all year. He's taking up a valuable spot on your team. I probably would have cut Marquise Brown and picked up Randall Cobb by now. If Alan Lazard is available, I would cut Marquise Brown and pick up Alan Lazard. You just got to be smart with your waiver wire and who you picking up. because Marquise Brown just isn't producing, and I don't see Baltimore wide receivers being basically consistent enough to be in your starting lineup.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, man.
All right, bro. Go ahead.
Go ahead, bro. Oh, no, I was going to say, you know, since we had just I could throw one more in there if it was time enough.
Go ahead.
But my boy Robbie Anderson going against the Chiefs, it would look like a lock on paper because, you know, they're going to have to put up points to go with KC. However, KC is extremely stingy against the pass. And it's going to be a tough matchup for him. I don't think with that pass rush that KC has, that he's not going to get as many opportunities as one would think. But I wanted to throw that out there because I know it looks good on paper, but I just don't think it's going to be a great matchup based off their defense, how KC's defense played this year.
And to piggyback on what you're saying, Chris Jones is out for Kansas City this week. But I think this game should be more of a Curtis Samuel, DJ Moore type of game because they give you big play capability as far as run after the catch, very versatile. They can do reverses. You can pitch it to Samuel off the backfield. So, yeah, I kind of agree with you. This might not be an Anderson game, but it definitely is more. If I had DJ Moore, I would definitely be playing him this week. But I'm going to give you a tight end on looking at sitting this week, man.
Okay, go ahead. Who you got?
I'm sitting Jared Cook, man. I think if they get all their weapons back this week, if Breeze gets Sanders and Thomas back this week, I don't see Jared Cook playing a substantial role in the offense. I look at Kamara, Murray, Taysom Hill, Thomas, Sanders, and probably Deontay Harris has probably been the main stalwarts in the pass game this week. So if you got Jared Cook, I would probably look elsewhere, probably, like we said earlier, probably look at Trey Burton, probably look at Logan Thomas if he's available. Yeah, man, I would just look somewhere else, man. I just don't think Jared Cook, he might be a red zone target, but as far as he will have to be touchdown dependent to be worth a start on your team this week. So I would look elsewhere. What tight end you got, bro, as far as being sat this week?
Brother, I got Evan Engram going against our skins. Well, the football team, that is. So we're very – man, our defense is playing good, man. I'm proud of our front seven, you know, with Payne, my boy, my number one pick. I mean,
Chase.
We're playing good. Yeah, Chase. We're very good. We play the tight end very well. I think we're going to give Daniel Jones some fits. And I think we're third against the pass. So the thing about it, I don't think they're going to really be able to have that success through the air. And Engram, he's kind of up and down, a little inconsistent. But that's one I would definitely sit as well this week.
Plus, I think Engram drops the ball too much, man. You look at that game against Philly, he basically cost them that game against Philly with that big drop that he dropped on the left sideline. And the thing about tight ends is you aren't going to get if your name isn't Kelce, Waller, Andrews, Ertz, Hunter Henry, you know, you're not going to get a lot of targets. But when you do get those targets, you got to be money. And Evan Engram just isn't money. I would have liked to see him get traded at the trade deadline, maybe probably going to maybe somewhere like Green Bay, maybe Pittsburgh, somewhere like that. But, you know, I would have rather see him or Houston – somewhere where they could really use him and maximize his skill set. But he's just too inconsistent, man. And, you know, I kind of agree with you. I would say him also. Hey, this is what the people came for, bro. They want us to tell them how they're going to win this week, man. So I'm coming at you.
Dude,
What quarterback are you looking at starting this week?
I would definitely start DeSean Jackson versus Jacksonville. This dude, he's been balling, man. Deshaun Watson, y'all.
Yeah.
That Jacksonville, they've been playing off on defense. Plus, at the point where the wide receivers that DeSean Watson has at his disposal, pretty much all of my deep threats. So he's averaging like 8.8 yards an attempt. Will Fuller, he was the subject of some trade talks. He almost went to the Packers. I'm thinking from here on, yeah, man, I think he's really going to ball out, man. He's going to ball out. Him and Cooks going up against that defense, I'm thinking they're going to run them out of the stadium. And Jacksonville, they're going to be starting a rookie quarterback as well. I'm thinking they're going to come out the locker room throwing bombs, dude. So, yeah, I'm thinking they're going to score at least over 30 points. He's going to get a lot of points this week.
I love DeSean, man. I really do. But I think he's in, like, if he doesn't make plays, they don't win. And it's like, man, you hate to put all that on your quarterback, but when you're paying him $40 million a year, hey,
yep.
You know, you got to win games for us.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote down Kirk Cousins, but I'm going to talk about Matt Ryan.
Okay.
I wrote down Kirk Cousins, but I'm going to talk about Matt Ryan. When Matt Ryan plays inside that Georgia Dome, he is very, very good. He puts up great numbers at home. You don't get the same numbers on the road, but when he's at home, he plays very well. And I noticed that Atlanta has did something that I wish other teams would do. Atlanta is using a pass game to set up the run game.
Because they
do have Gurley, who's been actually surprisingly good this year. They do have Hill, and they do have Edo Smith. But the best way to make your running game more effective is by being able to successfully throw the ball down the field so that them safeties have to cheat back. The linebackers have to play off the line a little bit more. So I like Matt Ryan to have a good game this week against Denver. Even though Denver has a sneaky good defense, I do like Matt Ryan going against Denver. And I want to throw one more name out there. And when I say this name, I'm going to let you chime in on it.
Okay.
If you have Cam Newton this week, this is probably the game that you probably want to start Cam. If Cam can't get off against the Jets, you probably want to go ahead and release Cam and look elsewhere. You might want to start streaming your quarterbacks weekly, probably going with Kyle Allen, Daniel Jones, maybe Baker Mayfield. You probably want to start streaming your quarterback. Because if Cam can't get off on the Jets, then, you know, it's just time to throw the towel in on Cam. Although I think the Patriots will run the ball in this game, I do think Cam should have some success.
Yeah, I'm rooting for him, man. This game is going to be so crucial for him and next year. Because if he can't play well on Monday night versus the mediocre Jets, that's showing that, man, he don't have nothing much left. And I actually got a sneaky pick a little bit later on that same game, too, that I think is going to go off. Yeah.
All right, man. Well, I'm going to give you a running back on looking at starting this week. I've been singing Philip Lindsay's praises the whole game, the whole show. But I'm going with Chase Edmonds this week, man, with Kenyon Drake out. Edmonds is going to be basically the bell cow as far as the running the ball and catching it. When David Johnson was hurt last year, Edmonds blew up. Edmonds blew up in his relief role, and I think he's going to do the same thing this week against Miami. Miami defense played very good last week at home. This week they're on the road against a formidable offense in Arizona with a quarterback who can move and D-Hop. So I look for Chase Edmonds to have a big game this week. If he's on your team, go ahead and put him in as your RB1, RB2, or your flex. Start him with confidence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sounds good, brother. I was going to say the same game that we mentioned for the last time with Cam, and I'm going to throw an extra one in there, is Damian Harris. In the last four games, he's had 100 yards. And he got 100 yards last week, 100 yards, 102 yards and a touchdown. And, again, I'm thinking they're going to completely pound the Jets on the ground. I think this definitely is the best game for that New England offense to go off. And I'm confident they're going to be using Damian Harris a lot, especially around the red zone, him and Cam. But I'm going to throw another sneaky one out there, too, and that's Justin Jackson versus Las Vegas. Las Vegas are getting up the fifth most yards. Yep, giving up 23 points a game to running backs. So Joe Kelly, you know, he wasn't cutting it. And Justin, man, he had a really nice game last game, and I'm thinking he's going to carry that momentum into this.
Actually, I like the Justin Jackson pick, man. Actually, I like the Justin Jackson pick because I'm actually playing him in my – man, I got so many teams. I actually play Justin Jackson as my RB2 in one league. People don't know that Justin Jackson was actually the lead back when Melvin Gordon was hurt one year for the Chargers. He was the lead back, and Austin Eckler was the third down back. So Jackson has skills. He just needs opportunity. And I think the coach, Anthony Lynn, trusts Jackson more than Kelly because Kelly does – he can't put the ball on the carpet, man. And most NFL coaches do not want fumbles, interceptions to beat them. So if you look at Jackson, if you have him, I think I would probably put him in my flex position this week and probably look elsewhere as far as my RB1, RB2. But that's a good point you bring up about Jackson, bro. Give me a wide receiver you're looking at starting this week.
So I'm going with Marvin Jones versus Minnesota. Guys, Galladay is out again, and this is going to be – it will be contingent on Matt Stafford, you know, testing negative this week because he's on that COVID list, y'all. So it's definitely a watch and see. But Marvin Jones, he hasn't, you know, had the season that, you know, everybody would think. I think last year he finished with, like, an average of about 9.9 points. This year he's kind of, you know, in a slow start. But this is a prime matchup. He's really good around the red zone. And I'm thinking this is going to be a bounce-back week. What you got, Lee?
Man, actually, I'm with you, man. That's why I started him this week. But I started him based on Stafford being the quarterback. So we got to wait to see whether or not Stafford is playing. If Stafford isn't playing, I don't even know who the backup quarterback is for the Lions. So if Stafford isn't playing, I'm definitely taking Jones out of my lineup, probably looking elsewhere. So, but I'm with you, man. Jones, this would have been a breakout game for Jones with Galladay out, because normally when Galladay is out, Jones' targets go up and Matthew Stafford is comfortable throwing him the ball. So, you know, I'm with you with Jones. I'm going with I'm going with Chase Claypool and Juju, man. I think Pittsburgh is going to look to get that passing game on track this week against Dallas. You know, Trayvon Diggs is actually pretty good. He's better than I thought he would be right this time at this point in time in his career. But I think Pittsburgh need to get their passing game on track, and I think going against Dallas, as long as they can block the front four of Dallas, they should be able to get anything they want in the passing game. And I see Pittsburgh probably going with a lot of four, one tight end, four wide receiver sets, empty backfield, to see what they can get in the passing game. So you got Chase Claypool and Juju starting with confidence this week going against Dallas. Even though the game is on the road, I think Pittsburgh is going to find a way to put points on the board. So, go with Chase Claypool or Juju Smith. You got anything else in the wide receiver group, bro?
Yeah, bro. I got this too, man, my boy Scary Terry. Scary Terry versus the G-Man. Terry's been pretty consistent, even though we got some challenges on my boys, man, as far as offensively. But Terry, I'm thinking Terry's going to get some great opportunities, and I'm going to go deep. My boy Darnell Moody, man, for the Chicago Bears. Allen Robinson, man, he's been playing really well as a number two. He did really good last week versus the Saints. And going into this game coming up here, I'm thinking he's going to get some solid opportunities. They're playing the who is that they're playing? They're playing the Titans. Them boys give us some yards, man. So I would definitely take a deep dive if you need a wide receiver with Darnell Moody.
That's funny because I wrote down Allen Robinson. I was like, you got Allen Robinson, start him this week going against Tennessee, who has no pass rush. And Robinson and Foles have definitely been hooking up here lately. But I'm going to go deep, man. Actually, I'm not going to go deep. I'm going with Justin Jefferson, man. I think Detroit is going to load up on the run and stop Dalvin Cook. If Kirk Cousins can't get it done against Detroit, something wrong, man. You got to be able to put up – you got to be able to pass the ball against eight-man boxes. That's just basic football in the NFL. You got to be able to throw the ball against eight-man boxes, especially when every team is gearing up to start your running back. So I would look at Justin Jefferson and probably Thielen – probably getting involved this week. So you have Thielen or Jefferson start down this week or going against Detroit. All right, man, I'm going to give you a tight end I'm looking at starting this week.
Let's go.
Man, you said Devontae Parker not to start him. If you can't start a number one wide receiver against a team, a young quarterback, his best friend is a tight end and running backs out of the backfield. I'm looking at starting Mike Gesicki this week because of that point. Young quarterbacks, if they have to come off of their first read, they normally look for the dump down and the tight end or the running back. So I look for Mike Gesicki to probably have between 6 or 7 catches, probably about 30 yards, no more than 50 yards. And if they get to the goal line, maybe a touchdown. But I think Mike Gesicki is going to be a PPR guy this week. Probably going forward, he's going to be a PPR guy because I just don't see Tua being as good as Fitzpatrick was as far as moving the ball and putting points on the board. So if you got Gesicki, which I do in one league, I'm actually playing him this week.
Man, that's a good pick. You're right, man. I feel bad for Tua, bro. Without no running game, That's going to make a lot of sense for him to throw short because I don't know if he's going to have any other options readily open. Great pick, man. I'm going to go with my boy Noah Fant for the Broncos going up against ATL, bro. Atlanta, they're giving up the most points to tight end so far. And my boy Noah Fant, since he's been off of injury the last couple of weeks, he's averaging around about 8 targets a game. He right now with Judy. Judy's back, but Patrick, he's a little bit injured. Hamler, he's okay, you know, but I think Fant is really he's one of the, I would say, top 7 tight ends when he's healthy. I'm thinking he's going to have a big day versus ATL, bro.
And plus, people got to realize that Drew Lock is still a young quarterback. He's a young quarterback, and with young quarterbacks, when they come off of that first read, they might go to the second read. They looking for that going to the tight end or the running back out the backfield. And Noah Fant is actually pretty good. You know, I live out here in Denver, so, you know, he's definitely been one of the players they've been talking about this week. But, you know, tight end, you know, like we said earlier, if you don't have the top five or top six tight ends, then you just got to hope that your tight end score a touchdown or he's a PPR type of guy that probably will get you between 3 to 5 catches every week, maybe about 50 yards, and you consider that a solid performance. All right, bro, give me a defense you looking at starting this week.
Man, I'm telling you, definitely I'm going with Indy. I got Indy starting in, I think it's two of my leagues. And I would go with, if I could throw another, bro, I'm going with my Washington, man, going against Daniel Jones. He's a turnover machine.
Yes, he is.
That was a good for us, man, to get some solid points, man. So, Washington, I'm going to have to vote my Colts, too, bro.
Yeah, man. Washington defense has definitely been our hot spot this year as far as, you know, our team. We knew coming into the league our offense was going to be a struggle. But it was like what I said last year. When you know you got a bad offense, you need your defense to play like a top 10 defense. Last year we had a bad offense and a bad defense. You can't have both. So this year our defense is a top 10 defense playing like a top 10 defense. So, but I'm going with Arizona, man. Although Arizona don't have the same defense as strong a defense as the Rams, you still got a rookie playing his first road game against a high-scoring offense. Normally when you're going against a high-scoring offense and you're forced to put points on the board, that normally leads to turnovers. So I'm thinking that Arizona probably maybe get an interception here, a sack fumble here, you know. So I will probably play Arizona this week. And I will probably look at playing Houston defense this week against a rookie on the road. You know, they played against a rookie at home, making his first start. But the thing about Jacksonville is they do have weapons on offense. They got three capable wide receivers. They got a good running back. But between the two, I would pick Arizona, and I would probably have Houston coming in as a strong second if they're available on your waiver wire. All right, bro. Give me a sleeper this week.
Man, so my sleeper, I'm going with, man, he's been playing well as of late, Mike Williams for San Diego versus the Las Vegas Raiders. Again, they give up a lot of yards. Of course, you got Keenan in the slot. Mike Williams is their big play red zone guy, too. So definitely if you need a deep wide receiver outside of course, of Moody, I would definitely go Mike Williams.
Man, we both going wide receivers this week. I'm actually going with oldie but goodie, man. I'm going with Larry Fitzgerald this week. If you can pick up Larry Fitzgerald for just one game, it'll probably be this game for me. I think Larry will actually have a solid game this week. Because if you look at it, Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods did a lot of damage against Miami in the slot. Because Miami has two solid cornerbacks on the outside and Xavier Howard and Byron Jones. So where you can get Miami at is in the middle of the field in the slot. I think Fitz should have a solid game this week. I'd probably say between 5 catches, and I think he even scores a touchdown this week. So if Fitz is available, pick him up this week if you don't have any better options. Like if you got Devontae Parker, I would start Larry Fitzgerald over Devontae Parker this week.
Absolutely.
I got one more sleeper in the same game. Of course, Miles Gaskins is out, and I don't think Matt Breida is going to play. I would go with Jordan Howard, man. If Jordan Howard is available in your league and you got Miles Gaskins, I would look at picking up Howard and playing him against Arizona. He doesn't have the same big playability as Gaskins and Breida, but I think he's going to have his opportunities probably between 12 to 15 rushing attempts, and he's going to get the goal line attempts if there are any in the game. So I would look at maybe Jordan Howard if you're in a deep 12 to 14 team lead and you got some players on by. Look at picking up Jordan Howard for this week.
Okay. So, bro, I got a question for you, man. So,
all right.
I want your opinion. So,
all right.
Tom Brady versus New Orleans or Justin Herbert versus the Raiders? Who would you go with?
Man.
That's a tough one, bro. That's a tough one.
But see, the thing about me is I like seeing my guys in prime time. It's like when you got a guy that's if you got a guy that's playing on Monday, you're like, man, I really don't want to play this guy, but damn, he playing on national TV. And, you know, that might come down to my Monday night game. But for fantasy purposes, I would probably take Justin Herbert. And the only reason I take Justin Herbert is because I think he's playing at home. And also, you know what he's going to give you. And with AB coming into the fold this week, and we don't know whether or not Godwin is going to play this week, but I think Tom is going to put up points, man. That's a tough one. I will probably go with Brady, man. I will probably go with Brady.
I
got to ask you something.
What you got, bro?
You made a trade this week. Explain why you did that trade.
Oh, absolutely. So, guys, I traded Keenan Allen. I traded for Keenan Allen, and I'm giving up Mike Evans for that same reason that, Lee, you're talking about. It's too many miles to feed. And I know he's a great red zone threat, Mike Evans. But, bro, I just think he's going to be third in the pecking order, man, because he got, you know, chemistry with AB. He's already know he got chemistry with Gronk. I was thinking that he's going to fall to third in line. And my man, you know, Keenan is a slot machine, bro. So I was like, hey, look, I had to make a move, man. What did you think about it?
I am a fan of Keenan Allen. And all my mock drafts I did leading up to the season, I tried to take Keenan Allen as probably my first wide receiver. Because I think I went running back, and then if I could get a quality tight end in the third round, I would take a quality tight end in the third round, then I would get my wide receivers. I had Keenan Allen on probably 85% of my mock draft teams. I had Keenan Allen on like four of my real life teams. So I am a fan of Keenan Allen. I thought he would struggle with Tyrod because Tyrod doesn't push the ball down the field. But he has definitely exploded with Justin Herbert. Him and Justin Herbert have a good rapport. And I think Mike Evans will still be the red zone target, but he probably won't give you anything between the 20s. He probably won't give you anything from the 20 to the 20. So basically, he probably becomes touchdown dependent, and I don't like that. So I would have probably made the same move because at least in PPR, Keenan Allen is going to give you at least 5 to 8 catches every week, He's going to get you between 50 to 75 yards, and he's going to sneak a touchdown in probably every other week. So that was a good move for you. I was like, I couldn't believe that. I don't even know how you sold him on taking Mike Evans.
Man, I just had to do what I had to do, bro. I just took a risk because I was contemplating it. But I think it's a time to sell high. On Godwin, too, I just don't know. I'm just not knowing, man, because I'm thinking AB is going to probably play in the slot to get him acclimated. And, man, if he plays a slot, they're going to be unstoppable, man. There's no way that you're going to be able to guard. Somebody's going to be open. That's going to be a one-on-one with Evans or Godwin. It's going to be interesting, man. I just think it's too many miles of Theodore right now, man.
I think Evans going on an IR after this New Orleans game. I think they're going to get him time to get his ankle right. That way you can put AB on the outside. You got Godwin on the outside. You put Scotty Miller in the slot. And basically, AB becomes like the best insurance policy in football because you can move him to the inside. You can play him on the outside. And you get Godwin time to get right. I mean, you get Evans time to get right. So, That makes your trade even smarter if what I say is happening. If they put Evans on the injury reserve, he's going to miss at least three games.
Yep, you said that last week too. And I listened to that one. Yeah. That was a key thing. Yep.
Because I think what Bruce Arians is what he's looking at. He's looking at, all right, Mike has been playing on a bum ankle all year. We got AB. All right, Mike, we're going to give you time to get your ankle right for the playoffs and the stretch run. They have to sell Mike Evans on that. Hey, look, we're going to need you down the road. So, yeah, man, I think he's going to miss a couple games. And AB is definitely a great insurance policy. But, you know, man, next week, Big Bro should be back next week. Next week, we're going to get y'all fantasy midpoint, MVP, our biggest disappointments, and our biggest surprises so far this fantasy year. Going into week 9, like we always say, we're not telling you to bench your stars. We're not telling you to sit your first round pick. What we're telling you is to evaluate the matchup based on your scoring system and that's how you should evaluate your team week to week. So me and my bro, both of us have Zeke Elliott on our sit list. And Zeke is probably a top 7 draft pick in most fantasy leagues. Without Dak, Zeke has definitely suffered. But at the same time, you know, Michael Gallup has suffered. So you have to be smart in making your lineup choices. So hopefully we can help you win your game this week. Any last words, bro?
Nah, brother. I would just say definitely like that pick I was going to make, just go with the known. You can't always go with the unknown. Just always trust the players that's proven it first, before you just go out on a limb. So that's my words of advice.
The crazy part is you said cut Devontae Parker. And I just seen something come across my phone where somebody picked up Corey Davis and dropped Devontae Parker.
That was I. That was I.
Okay, so that being said, everybody have a good weekend. Stay safe, wear your mask, practice social distancing. We'll be back next Friday, bigger and better, giving you more information. Next week will be a fun show. We probably won't do the Thursday night game, but we'll probably go into the moves that we did. But we're going to give you all our mid-year awards, and we're going to have a lot of fun next week. So tune in next week to the Three Bros Fantasy Football Show. Everybody stay safe. Stay blessed. Stay healthy. We'll talk to y'all next Friday. Peace.